Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are looking again at Paul's Thanksgiving section in his epistle to Philemon, the Thanksgiving section being verses 4 through 7. In which Paul describes to Philemon what his prayer of thanksgiving to God was like and what it was that he prayed for concerning Philemon. And as we look at the things that Paul says here, we realize that what we have is a pretty thorough portrait of a genuine Christian, what a Christian looks like. This is not a snapshot. This is a portrait. Portraits are more detailed. Portraits take a little more time, a lot more time, to compose and to present. And that's exactly what we have in this section, a picture of the man Philemon and the things that Paul knew about him and the things that Paul says about him and describes about him and the things that Paul prays about for him, all together paint a portrait of what it means to be a Christian. On the broadcast yesterday, we started with the foundation, which is that a Christian is one who exercises faith in the Lord Jesus, a biblical faith, a saving faith, a faith in the Jesus Christ that is revealed to us in Scripture, not a Christ of somebody's imagination, not a Christ of popular culture, necessarily, but a Jesus Christ who is revealed to us in the Bible. And a Christian is one who exercises faith in that Christ, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus. That's where it all begins. But there's more. And we'll take it up on this Wednesday, October 18. Thankful for the opportunity. Glad that you have joined us, and mindful that we need the financial support of our radio listeners to continue this ministry on this station. All right, what does the portrait of a true Christian look like? Number one, a Christian exercises faith toward the Lord Jesus. Number two, a Christian manifests love. We're talking about what a Christian looks like. What a Christian is, in other words. But again, Paul says in verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And that love is expressed primarily toward the saints. We explained when we were looking at that verse previously that this verse is linguistically or linguistically is probably the right word, but I'm trying to think of another word that doesn't come to my mind right now, but this is a chiasm. And so you take the first word, love, hearing of your love, and you apply it to the last phrase in the verse, and you take the second word, faith, and apply it to the closest object in the verse. And so the result is that Philemon's faith was expressed toward the Lord Jesus, and his love was toward all the saints. It is a literary device. That's the other word that I was trying to think of. It's a linguistic matter, but it is a literary device. And so a Christian is one who manifests love. Now, we often think in terms of love toward God, love toward Christ. I love to sing that song, More Love to Thee, O Lord, or O God, More Love to Thee. It's a prayer. And we pray that our love toward God will grow. Our love toward the triune God will grow. Our love toward God the Father will grow. Our love toward God the Son will grow. Yes, even as we are enabled to understand it better, our love toward God the Holy Spirit will grow. And that's important, and that's the first commandment, isn't it? To love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. To love your God, to love the Lord your God with your whole being, and to do so with all of your whole being, with everything that is within you. And those who understand what that means realize that they haven't achieved that goal yet. That's the command, but nobody has fully satisfied that command. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, all your being. None of us have done that fully and completely yet, but that is our desire. That's our goal. That's a God-given desire. Every Christian has a desire to love God that way, and every Christian is disappointed that we have not yet loved God to that extent, and we desire to do so. We pray that God will help us to do so. We know that is our need. We know that is the requirement, and we regret that we fall short of that requirement, and we pray to God for help and strength. Lord, help me to love you the way that I ought to love you. But that's not the love that Paul has mentioned in this epistle for Philemon. He's focusing upon Philemon's love toward all the saints. And what he's telling us is that genuine faith produces genuine love. Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. That is your love toward all the saints. Now, I'm sure I don't need to remind you that the nature of Christian love is a very special love. This is the Greek word agape, which is a love that is primarily volitional, not emotional. It is a love of choice, the love of decision. We can choose to love. It is not reciprocal love. It doesn't depend upon the other person loving us, because we can choose to love those who don't love us. We are taught as Christians to love our enemies. But it is a volitional love. It is an active and practical love more than a sentimental love. We love our enemies by, if he's hungry, give him food. If he is thirsty, give him drink. We love our enemy by doing practical things for him, which does not require that we feel warm and sentimental fondness toward him necessarily, though it would be wonderful if we do, but that's not the requirement. The requirement is to do practical deeds of kindness for him, in spite of the fact that we don't necessarily feel like it, because it's hard to love an enemy. It's hard to feel fondness for somebody who has tried his best to harm you and probably has harmed you in some way, if not physically, at least verbally or some other way. They are an enemy, not a friend. And yet we can love our enemy by choosing to do so, by choosing to do acts of kindness for them. Yes, this kind of love is a choice. It is a decision. It is active. It is practical, not necessarily emotional. But the objects of our Christian love are first and foremost God, of course, because that's the first commandment, but secondly, the saints. Now, the second commandment, Jesus said, is like unto the first. The first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself, which is not specifically mentioned here, except, well, I guess it is, singling out one particular category of neighbor, namely, all the saints. They are your neighbors, aren't they? The saints? If they're not, I wonder if you are a saint. Really? If you aren't in the company of believers, in the fellowship of believers, in the community of believers, if you aren't actively participating in a local body of believers so that the saints of God, at least a particular body of them, are your neighbors, literally, because you come into contact with them on a regular basis, then we need to go back to square one, that Christianity begins with the exercise of saving faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, because one of the things that Christ does in the hearts of those that he saves is to give them a love for other believers, a love that draws them into fellowship with other believers. A Christian who has no meaningful relationship with other believers is at best an anomaly, and in most cases is actually a counterfeit. He is no Christian at all. So, yes, the objects of our love are specifically, as mentioned here, the saints, the other believers. That's the starting point. And that's what Paul noticed, what Paul recognized in the life of Philemon and gave God thanks, not only for the faith that Philemon had toward the Lord Jesus, but the love that Philemon had toward all the saints. That's a good sign. Jesus told his disciples in the upper room before his betrayal in the garden and his crucifixion at Golgotha, Jesus told his disciples, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." A Christian is, of course, a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, one who learns from Christ, one who obeys Christ, one who lives according to the words of Christ, the teaching of Christ. And Christ said, "This is how others will know that you are my disciple, that you have love for one another." That is, love for other Christians, for the brothers and sisters who are in Christ. And Paul saw that in Philemon and mentioned that characteristic in the life of Philemon and gave God thanks for that. "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love toward all the saints." Philemon had a reputation for that. Other people knew that Philemon loved the people of God. It was an outward manifestation of his inward changed life. It was for him, and it will be for you and for anyone who exercises genuine faith in Christ. But by this manifestation, by this part of the portrait of a true Christian, many professing Christians fall short, demonstrating that many professing Christians are no genuine Christians. A lot of people professing Christianity, but not all of them are genuine followers of Christ, genuine children of God. How about you? Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.